yes, on September the 29th in the year of our Lord 2016, you are listening to a Rumination Thursday of Law and Gospel. And when I say here we are, I not only refer to myself, Pastor Tom Baker, but also Pastor Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing great. How are you, Pastor Baker?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Yeah, we could spend the whole time going back and forth on them. That's
we
how
could.
Mike
but
always
I gotta,
starts.
I got to say a special thank you before we get into.
Go ahead.
You know, they're replacing the gas lines in our neighborhood. You know, there's a 50-year-old neighborhood I live in, and I went out and let them know that I was doing a live broadcast from here, and they shut down all their machinery for this half hour.
Wow.
You know,
what
really
station
nice.
Are they going to be listening to?
8:50. I made sure to let them know, KFUO, 8:50 a.m.
Well, say a hi to each one of them for us. And do you get the station pretty well in your area?
Oh, yes.
Springfield,
yeah.
Illinois.
I can get it in Springfield, Illinois. I can get it all the way about 40 miles north of Springfield.
Wow. Yeah, right. I'm... often when I go south, I can get it pretty far. Also, all the way to Cape Girardeau, I had. It all depends what the clouds are like.
Right, yeah, the weather.
Yes. Well, what have you got for us today to talk about?
Well, I had sent you an email on an article about, hate groups, so to speak, or hate incidences on college campuses. And I thought it was rather interesting in that we've been talking about catechisms and you've been talking about the catechism and worldview, and thought it'd be a great place for us to start.
Yes. What did the article summarize or say?
Well, there's a number of incidences that they talk about, but one in particular on a college campus was that the crucifix was a sign of oppression and hatred of people, especially of lesbian, gays.
Well, you know this, how, I put that in the promo, but I'm still a little confused. How do they consider the crucifixion to be a sign of hatred?
They don't go particularly into it other than it was reported to the campus on hate oppression team or hate responsive teams that they felt oppressed and because of the crucifixion.
And the only thing I can figure there that the crucifixion we teach is a way that God took care of the forgiveness of our sins, one of which would be a gay lifestyle. And maybe that's why they don't like the crucifixion.
Right. Well, that's part of it. You know, the image of the crucifix, of course, they're trying to bring in race at white versus black and various other elements of the crucifixion in there. How they could do that, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I just read an article yesterday at one of Trump's universities. They were talking about how hateful they are there, and one of the reasons was because they had a picture of Christ at the university, as well as, you know, teachings from the Bible, and they consider that to be hate speech.
Wow. It's and, you know, when you read some of these internet articles, you get people's response, and even the atheists were saying, "You got to be kidding me!" such a thing as oppression, that they don't know much about Christianity.
Yeah, to consider the crucifixion to be hatred towards people who live in a moral lifestyle, they simply don't understand that part of that crucifixion was to forgive the sins of an immoral lifestyle. But of course, as we do in our liturgy, and that, you know, the liturgy provides a worldview because we start off saying we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And that's what Lutheran Christians believe.
Right. I think that's an excellent point that you bring up. And, you know, as I had once made comment to a Bible class about that, that they seem in worship, express exuberance, so to speak, when they're confessing their sins. And the lady raises her hand. She says, "That's because we know what's coming next."
Yes, said, well said.
And I said, "What's that?" And she says, "You're going to forgive us. Jesus is going to forgive us."
Yes. Yes. That question from her, or that statement, that's moving into what I was learning at the symposium, that the way to change a worldview of people who come to the church is to get them to participate in a Bible study. Have you ever had a Bible study that, and this happened to me a couple of times at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, I have one direction that I'm ready to go, but because of questions from the audience, we go in a totally different direction.
Oh, yeah, numerous times. In fact, this last Sunday up at Trinity Manitou, where I'm serving the vacancy.
Yes.
A lot of times I'll before we get into the opening prayer and the start of the Bible class, got any questions from last week or any questions that came up the week? And we got started, and it was just one, it cascaded itself. It went from one question to another element. And we never did get to the assigned Bible class because we were doing Q&A, questions and answers. And the way that I approached the answers was that I can give you the answer, but I said, I think it's better if we open up our Bibles to the area that you're questioning.
Yes. In fact, this was one of the points made at the symposium by more than one person, that teaching is not just informing of doctrine, etc., but by getting people to be thinking as to why we hold to those doctrines, and by a thinking process, which means participating, having discussion, then that is building up a worldview that prepares them for what the world is going to attack them with.
Exactly. I especially like your point on that, because one of the elders up there afterwards said, what I liked about this so much is, he said, he gave us answers from Scripture. We had a foundation and wish to respond in a nice way to the people that we're talking to.
That's really critical, that the Scripture becomes their foundation, and that is a worldview. Well, what I mean by a worldview, at least from the symposium, and I have to say I certainly agree with that, this is looking at our environment from a specific point of view, and that point of view, which we may not even be aware of, interprets all reality. So the worldview is what we presuppose. One example that was given, I thought this was really good. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, you can have the kids memorize that, they can know it. But if their worldview includes what the nation likes to say a lot of times, that includes all gods, then it really doesn't matter that they're memorizing this, because they're putting those details, those facts, in a worldview that is contrary to God's word.
But boy, when you said all gods, isn't that what we're running across in our society today with these various religions?
Well, after the 9/11, there was a kind of a meeting with all kinds of religions there. It really wasn't a worship service. Lutherans were there, Episcopalians, Hindus, Muslims, etc. And I always will remember what Mayor Giuliani said after that event. He said, "Isn't it wonderful that we all worship the same God?"
Ooh.
And so that shows that all the speeches, none of them, were like what Jesus would have said. And I can understand that Jesus would never have been invited back to an event like that, because he would have offended many people who have gods other than the Holy Trinity.
Well, and we would split it down. We've said this many times over your broadcast, that we can split religion down into two views, do and done. All those religions that talk about how you got to do something to earn salvation, and the done is it's already done by God through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, suffering and death for us.
Yeah, I was listening to EWTN. I like going to them every now and then. It's a television station on late at night. Well, it's on 24 hours, but I listen to it in the evening, where it's a Roman Catholic station. And what they do, and I wish the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod would do this, where we would have a television program and have people answer questions that are sent in. But this particular one was really very good, because it was talking about how Jesus, in dying on the cross, did forgive all of our sins. And the priest who was giving the answer really used the Bible again and again to help people understand what a worldview, he didn't use those terms, but that's what he was doing, what a Christian worldview believes in contrast to a secular worldview.
Well, I know a Lutheran Church Missouri Senate program that does that all the time.
Oh, really? On television?
Well, not on television. But you do that on Open Line, what, Friday, don't you?
Yes, we do that. But television is an area that we're not that much involved in. There is a very good program. It's put out by a Wisconsin Synod pastor. I think it's called Grace Alone. And you can get that on television. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed him a number of times on this program. But it's the only one out there. We used to have some great, like the This Is the Life that was put out by the Lutheran Layman's League. That was a tremendous television program. And you can Google it and actually see episodes of it.
Well, there is out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, we've got an LCMS, kind of a worship for shut-ins. We get it Sundays on the cable here at 7:30 in the morning. And they do an excellent job with a mini half-hour worship service with servant lessons and sermons and choral.
Is that television, or do you get that through the internet?
No, that's television.
Oh, wow. I'm unaware of that.
It's been on for some time here. But, it's been around for 50-some years now.
Well, what EWTN does every day, they do the Mass. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting, because they had a priest who not just chants, but sings a lot of the items there. And it was really well done. I don't know why we wouldn't have a worship service on television, too, each day that people could go to. But we'd have to get a station that, like KFUO, where you only hear Lutheran understanding of reality.
Well, you know what a number of our churches are doing now is they're going to the internet and they're taping their services and they're putting them on the on the internet with YouTube. Like that was one of the things that I asked that they do at Havana. We never got it done while I was there, but the new pastor, Pastor Wendorf, and the evangelism team have gotten it done, and you can go to their website and.
Well, Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, where I'm helping out now because Pastor Gaunt took a call elsewhere, he had that set up where they videotaped the entire service, and then it was often the sermon that you could see on video. Unfortunately, lightning struck and blew out about eight things, including the sound system and the video system. So they just got bids on a new one, and it's going to be better. It's just a replacement, but today you're going to have finer viewing and this sort of thing. And I really missed it because there was a couple of services that I actually brought in a camera videotaping it. Like, you always wanted to give a videotape of the baptism of any child and the parochial school singing, And the one I did also was a funeral requested by the wife that we would have a videotape so she could send it to friends who were unable to make the funeral.
And I think that's important that we do those kind of things, because really back to your whole discussion of worldview and catechism and answer, it's a great place sometimes for us to start. And sometimes we can make DVDs of them and hand them out to people. And then a catechism. You know, I had, when I was in Indiana, I had a member that every so often he'd come and say, "Pastor, I need a catechism." I'd give him a catechism, and a second, then a third. And finally I asked him one day, I said, "What are you doing with all these catechisms?" He says, "Well, you know where I work." I go, "Yeah." He says, "I had people that come up and ask me questions. They said, 'We know you're a Christian, you're a Lutheran.'" And when he would answer the question, he says, "I know a book that it has all kinds of more questions that you're asking with answers." And he would give them a catechism.
Yes, I turned the Orchard Farm, ordered about 40 of them. And I didn't get the one with the questions and answers at the back. I just kept with the Catechism of Luther, which has the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. I gave them all to elders, and I said, you know, this is a good evangelism tool when somebody wants to know what do we as Lutherans believe. In other words, what is our worldview? And one of the points was that I'm making these days from the symposium, I heard a definition of faith that I really hadn't considered before that I think is really good to explain our worldview. A lot of times we say faith is either belief that the Word of God is true and therefore we need to trust it, or faith is belief that the promises of the gospel are important and are true. But this definition of faith, I think, really hit the nail on the head. It said, and I'd like to know your response, that what faith is, from a Lutheran point of view, is actually an embrace of God's gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of similar to, wasn't it said that it's like going to a worship service with a grab bag and opening up and taking God's gifts?
Oh, that's good. Yes.
That was President Harrison.
Yes. No, that's excellent. Because what we're talking about, a lot of times we'll explain faith is not just knowledge of something, it's also assent. But then the big part of faith is trust. But we still leave that on kind of the mind level. And to move it into the heart means when we trust the promises of the gospel, we embrace God's gifts, which are specifically the gift of the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the robe of righteousness, and the many, many promises that are meant for believers in Christ.
And isn't that the thing that these groups are missing when they oppose, so to speak, the crucifix and other items of that nature?
Well, see, there's a good example that what a worldview does, it takes details and then reinterprets them to fit your worldview. So the crucifixion is a detail that Jesus died on the cross. But if you have a worldview that you are not that big a sinner, then the crucifixion becomes nonsense because you don't need the crucifixion. The Pharisees did not consider the crucifixion to be helpful for them, the unbelieving ones. But from a Christian worldview, the crucifixion is seen as the greatest act of love that God could give to mankind, that he became a man, suffered for us, and now provides us with the gifts of the forgiveness of sins. And our worldview, therefore, embraces that. And that's how we comfort people, particularly, say, at funeral services.
Yeah, well said. And that's really, in a sense, back to what you were talking about earlier in the broadcast about the start of a service where we all confess our sins. It doesn't make any difference what your background is, your race, your color, your creed, whatever position that you've taken, is that we're all sinners before God, and we receive that forgiveness through Christ who died upon the cross.
Part of the problem we're dealing with, you and I, Wes, is that many people in the world are frankly illiterate when it comes to knowledge about the Bible.
I think that's an important point, and it's necessary, or it's something that we should take time to, when we're talking with our lay people about going out and talking about the Bible. You know,
yeah.
We need to talk with people, not, you know, talk past them or say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they need to know the narratives of the Bible. And Concordia Publishing House puts out this one book, which is a kind of a summary of all of the Bible, starting with Adam and Eve. For example, even though the Bible has four accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they only have one account. But it really gets people. So when you say to someone, well, when David sinned with Bathsheba, they now know the story. And one of the goals I'm trying to do in confirmation, which, by the way, I have this afternoon at 12:45 at Trinity Orchard Farm, is to get biblical narratives attached to the doctrines so that when they think of who is God, they may come in their mind, and this is something you shared with me, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the trust they had in God. So when we say we should believe in God, they grasp the promises that those three men had when they were thrown into the fiery furnace.
Hey, you want a little caveat with those kids?
Go ahead.
You know, you can tell them that they need to eat their vegetables and go to Daniel chapter 1, you know. They were, the king's was feeding the kids rich foods and junk foods, and Daniel said, let me feed them, you know, the good stuff, the vegetables, you know.
Well, see, there are some parts of the Bible I disagree with.
We didn't have steak and shake.
I am not going to sit in front of the TV eating beans and stuff. I'm going to have chips with sour cream and pop. And so, yeah, that of course was a way in which Daniel was actually following some of the ceremonial laws, which we don't have today.
Right.
So, yeah, that was proper at that point.
But it's a fun thing to sit down with them and say, see?
Yes. Now, there's no doubt, health-wise, there are. The only trouble is, because we live in a fallen world, every time my wife Louise makes me something and I taste it and it doesn't taste good, I look at her and say, this is good for me, isn't it? She says, yes. Why didn't God make things that are good for us always taste good? You know, I mean, double cheeseburgers taste good. French fries taste good. Milkshakes taste good. But
once in a while.
Yes. So we actually have two different dinners. We have the one she makes for her and the one she makes for me. And I mean, I just love French toast with cheese on it. And, oh, man, I can eat that all day or some things. But
well, we got distracted again from our world view and narratives. But, you know, we're coming towards the end here. And I wanted to get back to that because, you know, you talked about the Bible narratives that we got to get them out.
Yes.
And just earlier, we talked about how we were getting the message out through the Internet, through tape sermons and things like this, you know, as entry points into people's lives and telling the good news.
Right.
We can maybe get people to come to our worship services.
Yeah, a big point they made at the symposium you can teach them the right doctrines, but if they put it in their worldview, that is their old Adam worldview, you've really lost. You have to also bring in the right worldview, and that's done by biblical narrative. So where are you preaching this week?
I got the weekend off. I'm going out to Nebraska, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're here next Thursday, though?
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I got to go see Nebraska play Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I love basketball, too. Oh, it's not basketball? Oh,
no, okay. No, it's football.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. And I'm going to be at Trinity Orchard Farm. Tonight we have a Bible study at 7 p.m. where we're looking at prophecies and to the New Testament, and we're incorporating worldview teaching in that also. And then Sunday morning, 8 and 10:30 worship, and also a Bible study at 9:15. So we'll look forward to getting you back next Thursday. Okay, Wes?
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Okay.
Weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.